it was mainly studied in finite dimension. And I think most of quantum information theory was studied in finite dimensions. Why it's important to study infinite dimensional case? Of course, the first reason is that all Gaussian systems are infinite dimensional. They cannot be represented in finite dimensional space. And they are both important from point of view of applications in quantum optics and quite attractive analytically because of canonical commutation relation which underlie them. There are also some other reasons for going in infinite dimensions related to additivity problem, but of this I will not speak. So my main motivation will be at the end obtain a necessary sufficient condition for a general Gaussian, quantum Gaussian channel to be entanglement breaking. And as you will see, it's rather nice condition, which can be rather easily verified in some examples, and we can get quite concrete results with this criterion. First, let me start with what was known for finite dimensions. Here there is a very well-known paper by Horodetsky, Shor, and Druskaya, where the definition of entanglement breaking channel was given, and then it was shown several characterizations were given, and one of these characterizations showed that it is a class of channel that was considered in some of my earlier paper without recognition of this fact that this is entanglement break. Now, let me say a little bit in detail. What such a channel does? Such a channel does a measurement with positive operator valued measure, and the outcomes are obtained, outcomes X are obtained with these probabilities. And for outcome X, one prepares output state rho b, measurement preparation. And then characterization which was given in that paper, or precisely definition which amounts to this characterization, is the following. Channel is entanglement breaking. So if you extend it trivially with identity channel in some other reference system and apply to arbitrary state such a lifted channel, then you obtain separable state. This is breaking of entanglement. And one of the results of this paper is that entanglement breaking channel in this sense are precisely of this form, first. And second, they also can be put in a different form, which can be called Krauss decomposition with rank one operators, with rank one Krauss operators. So it's always possible to write such a Krauss decomposition where these operators have rank one. And among important properties of entanglement breaking channel, of course, I should mention Peter Shor's result, which says that entanglement breaking channel fulfill additivity conjecture. And it's possible to show that it is fulfilled in the strongest, in the formally strongest form, which allows also input constraints and all that. In particular, the classical capacity is equal to chi capacity which was written yesterday by Peter. And also King had shown that multiplicativity conjecture, or which is equivalent to additivity of Rényi entropies for all p greater than one, is fulfilled. And from this one can also deduce that it is fulfilled for p less than one. So it's from the point of view of additivity, this is a very good class. And we know its classical capacity. And from the point of view of quantum capacity, it's rather trivial. Its quantum capacity, their quantum capacity is equal to zero. Moreover, one can show, I think it was not observed until recently in paper of Ruskaya and collaborator, it's quite a simple observation that any entanglement breaking channel is anti-degradable. I will say later what does it mean, and this in particular implies that capacity is equal to quantum capacity is equal to zero, although this is obvious from general reasons. Now I am going to infinite dimensional separable Hilbert space, and S of H will be the convex set of density operators. It is complete separable metric space if we consider trace distance defined by trace norm. But what is important for from mathematical side, it is not locally compact, and this makes several technical, in the mathematical sense, difficulties. Then T of H is space of trace plus operators, and B of H is algebra of all bounded operators. First of all, let us make precise, and it is necessary, the notion of separable state. it turns out that it is not that straightforward in infinite dimension. So natural definition is that a state in tensor product of Hilbert spaces is separable. Of course, this separable is not that separable. Separable if it belongs to convex closure of product states. That is, it is a limit in trace norm topology of sequences of convex combinations of product states. And in our paper, myself, Shirokov, and Werner, we had shown that rho is separable in this state if and only if it admits such a decomposition into tensor product, where X is some complete separable Borel space, P is Borel measure. So in general, we should have integral here. And also it was shown in this paper that there are separable states which cannot be represented even in the form of infinite sum. So you should necessarily use, in general, continuous mixtures. Now, let us pass to the definition of channel and entanglement breaking channel. The definition of channel, it has some subtleties in infinite dimensional case, but I will skip them. And I will say that channel from system A to system B is bounded linear completely positive trace preserving map of trace class operator in HA in the trace class operator in HB. And the definition of entanglement breaking channel is quite the same as in finite dimensional case. So if we extend it trivially by identity channel, then for any input states, rho AR, this should be separable, but separable in that sense. And again, there is something new in infinite dimensional case. It was shown in that paper that there are entanglement breaking channels which does not have Krauss rank one representation. And one of my auxiliary results will be to show how we should modify definitions so as to still to recover a kind of such representation, because this is important. Now, what about the first representation? The first representation, I shall show it holds. But before, let me discuss a little bit additivity properties, because they are not so simple as infinite. Formulation is not so simple as infinite dimensional case. Here I wrote that entanglement breaking channels in infinite dimensions, they fulfill the strongest form of the additivity conjecture. This is additivity of this chi capacity with arbitrary constraint in the input. Here I write the definition of this quantity, C chi of channel phi, with A is the subset of input states. And one subject is also that in general it is necessary to define this capacity not initially from this more familiar formula, but through relative entropy. The reason is the following, because in infinite dimensional case, entropy may easily become infinite. Moreover, it is infinite almost everywhere, so to say. So there are very small compact sets where it is finite. And if we want to write it in the form chi quantity in the form of difference, so there is a danger that both quantities may be infinite and we have uncertain expression. So it's better to start from this expression, which may be infinite, but it is always defined. It can be plus infinity, but it is always defined because relative entropy is non-negative. Next, in infinite dimensional case, it is necessary to consider what we call generalized ensemble, which is described by, in general, continuous probability distributions over states, over the set of states. So it's not sufficient to write a sum here. And then there was extensive study of this quantity by Shirokov, who gave condition under which this can be rewritten in this more familiar form. Essentially, this condition is that this entropy should be finite. Then one can recover this formula. Now, the most important constraint, input constraint, is type of energy constraint. When we have a positive self-adjoint operator, Hamiltonian, and we consider only those states for which the mean energy is less or equal than some level E. Notice that I don't stop here on definition of such things, although they need definition, because here is, in general, unbounded operator, so you should be careful to define this. But this is a minor problem. Now, after introducing such an energy constraint, one can consider chi capacity with this constraint, with this A substituted here. It is denoted in this way. And it is shown that for entanglement breaking channel in separable Hilbert space, the constraint classical capacity, which is defined operationally, is equal to that quantity with such constraint. So it's what concerns classical capacity. And if we go to quantum capacity and anti-degradability, here we come to the problem that the proof of anti-degradability requires Krauss-Rankine decomposition, which, as I told you, is not immediate in the infinite dimensional case. So this was about capacity properties of entanglement breaking channel in infinite dimensions. And now I shall speak about infinite dimensional analogs of Shor-Ruskoy Horodetsky representations. So the first analog is more or less immediately formulated, although proof is not that straightforward. So this theorem says that channel phi is entanglement breaking if and only if there is a positive operator valued measure in the input space, it's observable in the input space, whose values are in some complete separable metric space. For abbreviation, people in functional analysis call it Polish space, maybe in favor of Banach. So I can also say Polish space. So there is some formulation is such that there is some Polish space X. There is observable these values in X. Then through this observable, we define probability distribution. And there is a family, measurable family of states in the output space such that phi is given by this formula. And this is can be considered as a continuous analog of measurement preparation representation. But there is some subtlety here. While in finite dimensional case, there are subclasses of classical quantum channel and quantum classical channels, which can be embedded in the quantum environment. So here it is not always so. There are classical quantum channels, and they correspond to the case where this observable is sharp, that is projection value. And in this case, it's easy to see that channel just is given by this mapping from outputs X to the output states rho b. But in general, there is no quantum classical channels. So to consider quantum classical channel in this case, you should consider simply the probability distribution of measure. The problem is that you can not always embed continuous classical system in the quantum system in a proper way. So you should consider simply observables instead of quantum classical channels. And now this is about the first representation. And now I will speak how one should modify the second representation so that it will be valid in the finite dimensional case. For this, we need consider generalized vectors which do not belong to the Hilbert space, but which are linears on some dense domain in a Hilbert space. Let D be some dense domain in a Hilbert space, and A be a functional, linear functional on this domain. And I will preserve Dirac notation. So I will write it again as A psi, bra A ket psi, in spite of the fact that A does not belong to H in general. convenient. Just to give immediate example, if your space is just space of psi functions, square integrable functions, then you can consider dense subspace of continuous square integrable functions. And on this subspace, Dirac delta function is well defined, but it is not given by a vector in a Hilbert space. Now it turns out that we can give generalized Krauss decomposition, but in some places, instead of vectors, we will have such improper elements. This is theorem two, which says that channel phi is entanglement breaking if and only if there exists some Polish space Y and measure nu on this space and dense domain in H. Moreover, there exists a family of functionals, linear functionals on D, which is parameterized by Y. Y is a space of indices. And the family of unit vectors in the output space. These are normal vectors, usual unit vectors, such that phi is given by this formula for input density operators, which have this form, so one projection onto vector psi with psi belonging to D. So only in this case we can write it in mathematically unambiguous way. So, but if you look into this formula, so formally you can rearrange it as integral analog of the Krauss rank one representation. So let me remind what it was. So it is integral analog, and the difference is that this need not be proper vectors. These are generalized vectors, not in the Hilbert space. And by using this formula, it is not difficult to show that every entanglement breaking channel in infinite dimension is anti-degradable, which means that there is a channel T such that phi is obtained by action of T onto complementary channel. I don't give the definition of complementary channel, but with this theorem, complementary channel can be found explicitly. And one can show anti-degradability. Now I pass to application of these results to Gaussian channels. It's interesting to know which Gaussian channels have entanglement breaking property. Since Gaussian channels are described in terms of few matrix parameters, it is nice to have necessary and sufficient condition for entanglement breaking in terms of these parameters. Yes?
In the infinite dimensional result about entanglement breaking channels is essentially the same as the finite dimensional result, except that we have to take account of the fact that rank one POVMs and rank one states are not, they're not the same anymore, that the state space is not self-dual. And so we just have to introduce generalized functions.
Yes, we have to first introduce generalized function, and of course we have to write integral.
Right, but everything else then goes through.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Just trying to make sure.
Yeah. Roughly speaking, yes. Now, let me pass to Gaussian channels, since I cannot assume that everybody is familiar with general definition of quantum Gaussian channel. But probably I should give some small introduction. And the best way to approach to Gaussian channel is through open system, bosonic open system. So imagine that we have two bosonic systems. One is described by state rho A and another state rho D. And this composite system undergoes unitary dynamics with quadratic Hamiltonian. So when I say bosonic system, what does it mean? It means that each of these systems is described by a set of canonical variables, Qj, Pj, satisfying canonical commutation relations here and here. And here is a unitary with quadratic Hamiltonian. And at the end, in physics, usually you have the same system as A, but since I also respect information theory, I need not give the same output as the input. So it can be other subsystem of that composite system. And this can be other environment than the input environment. So in general, there is a different split of the same composite bosonic system. And mathematically, such quadratic dynamics is described by a linear symplectic transformation of the underlying symplectic spaces. So each bosonic system is a quantization of a classical system, which is described by symplectic spaces. And here we have direct sum and symplectic transformation T. Now, for such quadratic dynamics, all changes, dynamical changes, can be expressed in terms of what are called canonical variables, that is Q and P, and for them they may be vectors, and for them I introduce common notation R. So, in general, canonical variables of the output system will be a linear combination of canonical variables of these two systems. And the same for the environment. So this K, KD, L, LD, some matrices, which form block matrix of the symplectic transformation of the whole system. Now, to pass from canonical observables to more general operators, it's quite useful to introduce exponents of canonical observables, which are called while operator. And what is remarkable about these operators, that these exponents, essentially, they generate all possible functions of canonical observables. It is like in Fourier transform that exponents, they linearly generate all possible functions with some properties. Therefore, to define action of a channel, it is sufficient to define its action on while operators. Now, let us see what will be, what is written here is characteristic function of a state. This is just trace of output state. Phi is a transformation between input and output, which will be the channel itself, and multiplied by this while operator. Now, if we substitute here the transformation of canonical observables and make some simple calculation, we find that characteristic function of the state at the output is given by such a transformation of characteristic state in the input, multiplied by some factor depending on Z, which is determined by the initial state of environment. And now we come to the abstract definition of Gaussian channel, for which we don't need this picture. We can just say that channel is Gaussian if the dual action or in the Heisenberg picture onto the while operators gives transformed while operators, very simply transformed with some linear operator K acting on Z and multiplied by some complex function F of Z. Of course, this K and F are not arbitrary, and they satisfy some necessary and sufficient conditions, which is easily found. So we further specialize to Gaussian channels where this function F is Gaussian. That is, the definition of Gaussian channel is the following, that the dual channel acts on while operators in this way. It gives while operators multiplied by such Gaussian exponent. And one can ask, of course, at this point, so we came to this definition from open system description. Is it possible to go back? Yes, it is possible, and it's possible to show that for any such defined channel, it is possible to build a dilation in terms of open bosonic system. So it's a theorem which is in the web, in this QuantPH article. Now we see that mathematically a Gaussian channel is defined by three multidimensional parameters. By operator or matrix K, which acts from symplectic space ZB to symplectic space ZA, so it's finite dimensional linear transformation. Then L is just a vector, and alpha is a symmetric, real symmetric matrix. And as in always in Gaussian case, it's very easy to eliminate this linear parameter L by making some while transformation. It's always possible to make it zero. Mean values can be taken zero. Then we can write necessary and sufficient condition on parameters to define a Gaussian channel. So they are not arbitrary. This is necessary and sufficient condition that this matrix alpha should be greater or equal, that such a combination of delta is a commutator matrix for output, delta A is commutator matrix for input, these are matrices of this block diagonal form. And also there is a modification with this K. So K enters here. This is a theorem of Gaussian dilation. Now we can ask, given a Gaussian channel with parameters K, alpha satisfying this condition, L we take equal to zero, when it is entanglement breaking, in the sense, in the general sense which I described before. And the condition is the following. It is entanglement breaking if and only if this correlation matrix alpha can be split into two other correlation matrices, nu and mu, where nu is greater or equal than this, and mu is greater or equal than that. You may ask why there is no minus here, but people who know the subject, they also know that, in fact, you can write plus minus here, so it's not important. It's important that it is important that minus is here, so you cannot change minus to plus here. But here you can put either plus or minus, and the necessary sufficient condition is the following. Moreover, if this condition is fulfilled, then we can construct a representation for this Gaussian channel in terms of Gaussian measurement and Gaussian preparation. And this nu and mu, they are directly related to this object. First, let us say about preparation at the output. The preparation is the following. There is some Gaussian state with zero mean and correlation matrix nu, this matrix. And then we just shifted, this is displacement operator. So we make all possible displacements, which means given external force of the amplitude ZB to this state. Now the this amplitude ZB is distributed according to the result of measurement. And the measurement is also special. It is, I call it Gaussian, because its a positive operator valued measure has Gaussian nature. In what sense? In the following sense. So if we take usual characteristic function of this positive operator valued measure, this will be operator valued function. So we call it Gaussian if this operator valued characteristic function is of Gaussian form. And that mu, which appears in this decomposition, just appears in the definition of this Gaussian measurement. In fact, it's possible to give a more explicit description of this measurement as a combination of optical, I should not say optical because there is nothing optical here, but you can have optical heterodyning and homodyning. So these are basic Gaussian measurements. So depending on whether this mu is degenerate or non-degenerate, you will have a decomposition into series of homodyning and heterodynings, and then with some linear transformation applied to it. So this gives rather closed description of Gaussian entanglement breaking channels. And also we can say that this observable is sharp, that is, it is homodyning, if and only if this mu is equal to zero. In this case, we have classical quantum channel. And now let me apply this general result to channels, quantum channels in one mode. So in the case of one mode, we have two real parameters x, y, and while operator is just this unitary operator, family of unitary operators, and the commutation matrix is just 2 by 2 antisymmetric matrix. And in this case, it is possible to find, to bring arbitrary Gaussian channel in one mode to one of the, how many, 4 canonical forms. And this the transformation to canonical form is made by the following way. You are allowed to make unitary transformation onto input state and also onto output state, but not arbitrary unitary, but I call it canonical unitary. So this is a unitary operator which corresponds to symplectic transformation in the classical system. So it's essentially again a quadratic Hamiltonian here. Then the theorem which is proved in this preprint is the following, that it's always possible to find such canonical unitary operators that after this transformation, the channel comes to one of these 4 or 5 forms. And let me describe it in terms of corresponding open systems, because it is more transparent, I think. So I don't write transformation phi, by simply write these parameters. So K is just such operator. Matrix alpha is proportional to identity operator. But when we come back to the open system description, it is very simple. So we have input position multiplied by K plus noise position. This will be output position. And the output momentum is just equal to output momentum. This first class is somewhat degenerated, and it has very simple description. So you see here is information transmission is only through position variable. Then there are two classes, or say one class with subclasses, channels with additive classical noise. Here channel with degenerate noise, where position is transmitted without any noise, and momentum is transmitted with one-dimensional Gaussian classical noise. And the parameters corresponding to this are such. Now, more interesting is channel which was studied by many people, including Peter Shor. It is additive classical noise, where we have noise components both for position and momentum. And this noise is symmetric, so it's essentially complex Gaussian noise. So xi and eta are independent random variables with independent Gaussian variables with the same variance. Next is what I call attenuator amplifier. So this was also studied by a lot of people, not only in quantum information, but also in quantum electronics. In the book of Loisel, you can find extensive use of such channels. So in case of, in this case, K is operator K is proportional to identity with coefficient not equal to one. And the correlation matrix is such, it is also proportional to identity. And N, meaning of the parameter N, is the environment noise. So in the case K less than one, it is attenuator. And the equation is this for the open system. In the case of amplifier, the equation is more complicated, which I will not write down, but I think it's quite familiar. And finally, there is a class D when K is involves inversion of sign for position and momentum. I think it probably did not appear before. I don't know what is physical meaning of this channel, but in mathematics it appears as a complementary to amplifier channel.
No, there is no squeezing here. You see, for one mole, there is no squeezing. Mm-hmm. The point is that if you have a channel with squeezing, then you can always find a complex structure which is related to this squeezing. So you can always put the squeezing into this transformation.
Oh, yes. Okay. Ah, okay. So, yeah. So this,
but it's not always possible in higher dimensions.
Okay. Yeah.
Now let us apply the theorem of which I formulated, the criterion for entanglement breaking. And in this case, it is applied easily. And it gives the following result, that class A is entanglement breaking. In fact, it is classical quantum channel. And this is not entanglement breaking. And for these two classes, we have picture which I show you next slide, because here the answer depends on the relation between parameters. This amplification coefficient and the noise. And here, for all values of parameters, this channel is entanglement breaking. Now let us pass to this most interesting case.
Just following up on Peter's question, the bottom channel looks very much as if, so you have the system mode and environment mode. And it looks as if that's resulting from two modes squeezing between the system and the environment, right? And then the environment is being traced out. Is that obviously wrong? Or
which channel?
The option D. Because option C is sort of a beam splitter, right? That's two mode mixing.
Yeah.
And then D looks like two mode squeezing, and then you trace out the mode that you squeeze with.
I don't know, maybe.
It's probably not relevant to you.
Maybe we should look. Okay.
Now let me pass to the case B2C. And then there is a necessary and sufficient condition for channel to be entanglement breaking. So the noise should be greater or equal than minimum of 1 and square of amplification attenuation coefficient. So this is the domain of parameters where one dimension, one mode Gaussian channel is entanglement breaking. And as I told you, since it is entanglement breaking, it is anti-degradable and also it has zero quantum capacity. But this is not the strongest result which we can obtain. With additional effort in this paper, we obtained a bigger domain for anti-degradability and for zero quantum capacity. So this result most interesting for the entanglement breaking, and as a consequence for the solution of the additivity problem in this case. Now we can come to very concrete constraint, input energy constraint, where this is just energy for one mode. And then we can say that due to all what was said before, that the classical constraint capacity is constrained on this energy is equal to this chi capacity, which was given by the formula on one of the first slide. And this quantity is additive. But this is not, unfortunately, the end of the story, because one would like to compute this quantity explicitly. It is given by explicit formula. So it's why not to compute it? But computation of this quantity in Gaussian case, it brings us to another great mathematical problem, which I call problem of Gaussian optimizers. And this is a conjecture that for any Gaussian channel, this chi capacity is maximized by Gaussian ensemble consisting of pure Gaussian state. And this problem may be even more difficult than additivity, because there are some conditional results of Michael Wolff, for example, that if additivity holds, then we can push a little bit forward solution of this problem, not completely solved, but we can prove that average state is Gaussian, but we cannot say about ensemble, not yet. So this is a big question. If this can be computed just by substituting Gaussian state, Gaussian ensemble, there is only one case where this equality is known, and this was written in the paper of these authors, Giovannetti, Guha, Lloyd, Marconi, Shapiro, Yun. And this what is called pure loss channel. So this is a attenuator channel. So K is less than 1. And environment is in vacuum state. So N is equal to 0. And what is special in this case, why it was possible to prove such a hard problem? Because in this case, the minimal output entropy is equal to zero. So this problem of additivity of minimal output entropy is trivial for this channel. And using this fact, it's possible to solve not so trivial equality here. So I think that's all.
Was so polite about making their questions brief during the talk. Now we've got a few extra minutes, so we have expansive questions. Anybody want to enlarge their earlier questions? We've got a few extra minutes. Is there anything else you wanted to tell us?
No, I think if this does not raise question, why should I say more?
Well, early on you referred to this result about countably infinite dimensional. You can have two countably infinite dimensional registers that contain separable state that can't be written as a countable mixture. And is it easy to give to sketch that example of the state that has property?
It's not very difficult, but also it's not immediate. So it is in this quant pH, okay. So which Kolevash, Shirokov, Verne. So it is there, the construction.
Let's thank Professor Holubo again. And,
yes, but I think this question is, one might think, it's not very important, but you see, it's one should be careful when goes to infinite dimensions. And
I think it isn't. I find it counterintuitive, so that's why I asked.
Yes, some people write this. They say it's separable if and only if it can be represented. But then one can come to wrong conclusion.
How long is the conference?
It's supposed to be half an hour.